Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The problem isn't that journalists hate religious people. They actually love religious people whose doctrine basically agrees with the editorial page of the New York Times.
I would say we should be very cautious in shifting from freedom of religion to freedom of worship, which ultimately becomes a facade of freedom.
It's frustrating for me that the Lord says that faith is waiting. Isaiah 40 says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, so that part of our faith is waiting with patience while the Lord's slow clock ticks along.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
You have heard it many times, the fastest growing, relatively speaking, fastest growing religious group in the United States over the last decade or so is a category of none. That is, when asked, what's your religious affiliation, this group, the members of this group, identify by saying none of the above. They're called the nuns. Now, some have jumped to the conclusion that this is part of a bigger trend of secularization of the United States, that as we continue to advance technologically, intellectually, there's not a lot of evidence of that lately, but as we continue to advance as a nation, we will throw off the shackles of religion in general and will become a truly secularized nation. Is that true? Is the rise of the nuns evidence of the secularization thesis? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, April the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about a new survey on religious affiliation. Dr. Mark Mofsession will be our guest. He is co-director of the Tradition Project at St. John's Center for Law and Religion. A little bit later, we'll be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us as well for This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll just be going through some bad Easter sermons. And then somewhere in the mix, yes, actually, after our conversation about the religious affiliation survey, Joy Pullman of The Federalist will join us to talk about going screen-free with your children. Joining us to discuss a new survey on religious affiliation, Dr. Mark Mofsession. He is co-director of the Tradition Project at St. John's Center for Law and Religion, author of a recent column for First Things titled The Devout and the Nuns. Dr. Mofsession, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What is the secularization thesis?
Well, the secularization thesis is a thesis about the gradual secularization of society, and it was actually dogmatic, I guess, maybe a generation ago in the American Academy. And it teaches, or it holds, that over time, as societies become more industrialized and more modern, then eventually societies become less religious. And so as we become more advanced in terms of technology, in terms of knowledge, in terms of science, then people become less and less religious. That's what the secularization thesis holds.
What data from the recent general survey supports this thesis when it comes to Americans?
Well, the recent survey that came out, the one that was just in March was released, they do it biannually, showed that the number of Americans who say that their religious preference is none has continued to go up. So if you look at the data since the early 1990s, in 1990, about 6% of America told surveyors that they had no religious preference or that, you know, their religious identity was none. That's why we call them nuns, by the way, N-O-N-E-S. It means they say their religious affiliation is none. It was about 6% in 1990, and then throughout the 1990s, it kept going up, and now it's like 23% of Americans say that they have no religious identity, and that's up a little bit from the last survey. The last survey had it at 22%, which is not that much of a jump, but if you look back to 1990 and you go from then from 6% to 23% is really a large increase.
What data in that survey don't support the secularization thesis?
So the secularization thesis would suggest that society generally is going to become less religious over time, that everyone's going to walk away from religion. But that's not really what the data is showing. What the data is showing is the percentage of Americans who say they strongly identify with a religion has been more or less the same since 30 years or so, something like 34%, something like that. And that's still the same today. So people who are strongly committed to religion remain strongly committed to religion, or at least the percentage is the same. Where the decline is coming from is in the group of people which were sort of not that strongly affiliated with religion, you know, went once in a while, didn't say they had a strong identity. And that number continues to decline. So it seems that actually when we talk about secularization, it's not generally in religion. It's the people who were only weakly affiliated to start with. Those are the people who seem to be leaving and becoming nuns over the last generation or so.
Why are many young people in America, when asked, identifying themselves as having no religious affiliation?
Okay, so that's a really interesting question, and I want to point out that actually the number of young Americans who say they are nuns is higher than the general population. So the general population, something like 23% of Americans now say they are nuns. Among younger Americans, it's higher. It's more than a third. It's something like 33% or 36%, depending on what numbers you look at. So the number of nuns is actually increasing most among young Americans. Now you ask, why is that? Sociologists point to a number of factors. For example, demographic factors. You know, there's been a great increase in divorce in the last 50 or so years in America, and there's some indication that the children of divorce are less likely to affiliate with a religion, maybe because divorce makes them suspicious of authority generally or skeptical about authority generally. There are large rates of religious intermarriage in America. And there's some indication that children of marriages in which the parents have different religions also tend to affiliate less with a specific religion as they grow up, for reasons you could figure out. And then, of course, there's the sexual revolution. I mean, many of these younger nuns in surveys say that the reason they reject religion is they associate religion with negative attitudes about homosexuality and gender and things, and so that's why. So there are a number of factors, Todd, but those are the factors that people most talk about.
What can we learn or at least glean from this survey about religious beliefs and practices in a very basic way?
Well, as I said before, I think what we can glean from the survey is that the percentage of Americans who are strongly committed to their religion, who pray regularly, who go to church regularly, that has remained more or less the same, well, at least since the 1980s. It doesn't really differ at all today from what it did then. But for people who were only weakly attached to a religion, who didn't go to church very regularly or didn't strongly identify, those people seem to be drifting away more and more and becoming nuns, that is, ending all affiliation with religion. I think that's the big picture that you can get from this.
How would you describe the shift in American attitudes when it comes to religion?
Well, just as I said, I think for increasing numbers of Americans who were not tightly affiliated with religion to begin with, they seem to be moving away more and more from this. Now, why that's happening is because of the factors I stated, demographic factors, ideological factors. You know, an interesting thing, one factor goes back to Tocqueville. You know, Alexis de Tocqueville was a French visitor to America in the 19th century. He wrote a great book about this called Democracy in America. And he said what he most identified in American society was the importance of equality, how people were not really willing to draw distinctions among people. And he also said eventually he thought that was going to lead to people being unwilling to draw distinctions in terms of religion, and that, you know, the idea would be all religions really are equally good. He said that was something he could predict even in the 19th century that would happen in America. And you might say that's happening now, too. You know, I think many nuns would say they don't reject God particularly. I mean, they think there is some God or some higher power, but they just don't think that any one religion has a monopoly on truth, and therefore they don't really identify with any particular religion because, after all ways are good. I'm sure your listeners have heard a lot of this in the culture. So that might be another lesson that you get from these surveys, is that Tocqueville was right. This is what happens in American democracy over time. People are less and less willing to draw these distinctions. Again, with the caveat that, you know, people who are strongly committed remain strongly committed. It's the people who are not that strongly committed who eventually drift off entirely.
Are attitudes about religion polarizing increasingly?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what the survey is showing. It's showing that we now have about, you know, a third of Americans who are strongly committed to their religious identity. And then we have, you know, another fifth to a third of Americans who really are drifting away from religious identity entirely. And the middle seems to be dropping out, which is sort of sad. And it's going on in a lot of aspects of American life, in our politics, too. The middle seems to be dropping out in favor of extremes on either end. So that's what I meant before, Todd, when I said I don't think it's a general kind of drift from religion. It's that our religion is becoming polarized in a way it didn't seem to be before.
So you just mentioned a political element to it. Is there a political element to this polarization?
Yes, there is. Now, that's not showing up in the survey. They didn't really ask about that. But there are other surveys. For example, the Pew Foundation has done a number of surveys about religion and politics. And we are beginning to have a religiously polarized politics in this sense. Politics and religion have always been identified in America. But something like 70% of Republicans or people who lean Republican say they believe in the God of the Bible. When you ask Democrats and people who lean Democrat the same question, that only 45% of Democrats say they believe in the God of the Bible. So that's a big gap. And also Pew has done surveys, and it turns out if you count the nuns as a religious group, then they are now the largest group in the Democratic Party. Something like 30% of Democrats would identify as nuns. So really, we are now having a kind of religious party and maybe a secular party in America. And that also is a new thing. And I think that also is problematic for our politics.
What is the track record for societies that have become religiously polarized?
Well, not good, especially if the religious differences start showing up in politics. When you combine the polarized religion with polarized politics, those are very divided societies. We can look at societies around the world that are like that, and they're not politically stable societies, and oftentimes, sadly, they are afflicted with violence, too. And, you know, now I'm not saying that's about to happen in America, please don't misunderstand, but the trend line is not hopeful in that way.
I've been curious about this lately as I've watched the same trends, and I've wondered whether or not we are watching the evaporation, or at least the kind of the decimation in its classical sense, of the religious left. What are your thoughts there?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I mean, we read a lot now about the rise of the religious left in the Democratic Party, and maybe that will increase. Yeah, of course, there are religious people on the left. I don't mean to suggest otherwise, and maybe they will have a say in the Democratic Party, but it doesn't look like that's the center of gravity in the Democratic Party. So, I mean, as I said, the largest religious group, quote-unquote religious group, in the Democratic Party today are the nuns. And these are people who avoid any religious identification at all and who are, by definition, somewhat suspicious of religious identity. So just as a descriptive matter, I'm not sure how much of a role the religious left is going to play.
Is there a way forward, if only in a very general sense, to overcome the polarization that we find both politically and religiously among Americans?
Gee, I mean, I wish I could say, Todd, I don't know. I mean, I say in the First Things piece that the only way we get through this is through a great deal of goodwill and prudence on both sides. I guess that sounds kind of vague, but I'm not sure what else I could say. I mean, I think that's what it will take. It will take prudence and goodwill on both sides, and perhaps not pushing for the maximum of what you want in the political realm, and being willing to compromise and being willing to credit the good faith and motives of the other side. I think that's kind of what we need, because without those things, the legal guarantees and the legal strictures that we put in really are not going to do very much good, I think.
As you look at it, merely as a matter of opinion, do you think that that goodwill, that willingness to work together exists in the body politic in America today?
You know, Todd, I'm reluctant. I'm not an expert in that. I mean, I certainly hope so. When I go on Twitter, I'm skeptical. When I go on Twitter and I read how quickly people jump to just the opposite, not crediting the good faith of the opponent and just assuming the opponent must be bad or stupid or, you know, ill-motivated or something. So judging by social media, no, but we have to hope that social media doesn't reflect the whole picture of American culture, and that what Abraham Lincoln called the better angels of our nature, maybe they are out there still.
So by way of summary, does the data support the idea that there is a general religious decline in the United States?
No. The data so far, at least from this survey, doesn't support that. It suggests that the decline is occurring among those people whose religious identity was weak to begin with. But with respect to those people who have a strong religious identity, the decline is not happening at all. It's more or less the same as it's been.
Dr. Mark Movsesyan is co-director of the Tradition Project at the St. John's Center for Law and Religion. He's author of a recent column for First Things titled The Devout and the Nuns. You can read it and learn more about the Tradition Project at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Movsesyan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It is one of those daily things that parents of young children, teenagers deal with. It's the screen, it's the device, it's the tablet, the cell phone. We'll talk about going screen-free with your children with Joy Pullman of The Federalist after this.
Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
For a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.